in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the scene after the Battle of Kurukshetra, after the Pandavas were victorious. Yudhisthira Maharaj is coronated as king, and everything seems very peaceful. And Queen Kunti is offering her prayers because Krishna is about to leave. And she's praying, let these calamities happen again and again. When we read these stories, we should read or hear not only with our ears and our mind's attention, but with our hearts also. Sometimes we think we're in difficult situations, but really, what was Kunti's calamities that she was talking about? We just heard how her own relatives, her own nephews were trying to kill her children in the house of Lakh, to literally burn them to death. And she was with them at the time. But somehow or other, Vidura helped them and they escaped. Vidura was her brother-in-law. And then, in that sense, then we find they were exiled. She saw Draupadi being insulted. During the battlefield of Kurukshetra, her eldest son, Karna, who she loved as much as her other children, she saw her eldest son and Arjuna, another son, worst enemies who wanted to destroy each other. And then she saw one of her children kill her other child. Arjuna killed Karna. Now, those of you who are mothers, what kind of distress would that have in your heart? Abhimanyu was her grandchild. She saw him slaughtered by unfair means. And she witnessed the pain of Subhadra and Arjuna, their mother and father. She saw five of her other grandchildren, a child from each of her sons to Draupadi. They were slaughtered while they were sleeping by Aswatthama, killed. I'm a Swami, I don't know so much about direct experience of these things, but I see grandparents usually love children as much or more than the parents themselves. She saw her son die at the hands of another son. She saw six of her grandchildren die in a most ignoble way. Not chivalrously. These are serious calamities. They weren't just things that happened to her. They were things that she was seeing happen to those who she loved most. And yet, she's praying to Krishna, let those calamities happen again and again. Because in these situations, I remember you. I have nowhere else to turn except you. I have no other shelter. And in seeing you, I don't have to, in remembering you, and I see you, and in seeing you, I don't have to experience birth or death anymore. So the calamities of the death of loved ones, the calamities of being cheated, the calamities of being of the physical pains, watching her five children and their wife living in the exile of the forest and being hunted. And it was very difficult. If she could have been there with them, it would have been much easier. But she wasn't allowed to go with them. She was at Vidura's house in Hastinapur. And she would just have to hear about these things. And she would hear the nasty, terrible rumors being spread around Hastinapur by Duryodhana about her own children. This is the exalted status of Kunti. Now, if she was just some sort of hard-hearted, detached yogini, it wouldn't have been the same type of prayer. But devotees have soft hearts. She was a mother. She was a grandmother. She was a wife, and her husband died. Practically everything possible we could think that could happen to a person happened to her. And it's not that she didn't suffer, but in that suffering, she was experiencing the eternal joy of remembering Krishna. And the more desperate the suffering, the more desperately she took shelter of Krishna. And that's the meaning of this prayer. And Srila Prabhupada said, whether we pray for calamities or not, they will come. We don't have to pray like Kunti for calamities. They're going to come anyway. Everyone's going to die anyway. And the setbacks of this world and the reversals and the unfairness of envious people, it's always going to come upon us. The real prayer is under all circumstances to always remember you, Krishna. And her own daughter-in-law, Draupadi, what is the most famous, inspiring story of Draupadi? How many times do we hear in lectures about how happy she was when she got to marry Arjuna? Or how happy she was when Bhima would prepare a nice feast for her. But when she was being stripped naked by Dushasana, and there was no one who was protecting her, she felt utterly betrayed by everyone she trusted in this world. And in that state, she understood, only Krishna is my real friend who can save me. And she helplessly lifted her arms and cried out, "Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda." In the intensity of her surrender, Sharanagati, Krishna appeared before her. That's the glory of her life, that instant. That inspires people 5 millenniums later more than any other. And Kunti was watching all these things happening. His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj was speaking about the daydreams and the night dreams. Srila Prabhupada would write to us, all of his devotees. He would say, "I hope this meets you with good health." So what's this health? Of course, spiritual health, but he was also talking about emotional health and physical health too. If it's all a dream, who cares? If the body's just a dream and the miseries we're going through are just a dream, and then who cares? Just why even try to liberate people? Because whatever suffering you're going through is just a dream anyway. The soul is eternal. The soul is full of bliss. Because a devotee, although he understands or she understands the nature of these good dreams and bad dreams, daydreams and night dreams, Still, it's the Atma that's identifying with it. And a devotee feels compassion. What does Prabhupada mean when he says paradukaduki? A devotee suffers when he sees others suffering, and he's happy when he sees others happy. Well, if all suffering is just a dream, why should we suffer when we see somebody suffering a dream? It's because the eternal soul, that part of Krishna that's loved so much by Krishna, if Krishna loves us, therefore a devotee loves us. Identifying with this dream is what causes suffering. And devotees feel suffering when they see others suffering. But there's a difference, because when an ordinary, materially oriented person suffers to see another suffer, we just try to make a makeshift change the dream from a suffering dream to a more happy dream. That's all a material person can do. But a devotee wants to wake us up. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Haridas Thakur, and he was really suffering. He said, "My heart is feeling such pain to see all the people suffering in this world, in forgetfulness of Krishna." And Haridas Thakur said, "But you came here to wake them up from the dream of the suffering, from the bad and good sufferings." Because you have come to this world and you have personally chanted the holy names. Jeev Jago Gora Chandra Pole. Kota Nidra Jaya Maya Pisa Chirakole. The daydream is because we're sleeping in the lap of Maya, of illusion. And yes, we feel for people who are dreaming in this way. Good dream, bad dream. It's all bad. Because it's all distracting us from our true natural wakeful state. Jivara Swaropoi Krishna Ranitidas, that we're all eternal servants of Krishna. And love for Krishna is our true nature. But to actually understand this, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta, we must follow in the footsteps of great souls. And the great souls come to this world and pass through situations that are very similar to us, but they show us how to do it. And that is Kunti. She didn't select the sufferings. She didn't, you know, place an order on the internet to let my five grandchildren die and let Abhimanyu die and let my eldest son be killed by my younger son. These were things that she was trying to avoid like anything because she's a mother and a grandmother. Whatever could pain her heart the most, it all happened. But she never felt Krishna, why? She understood that Krishna is my only shelter. And she understood that by taking shelter of Krishna, Krishna would give his highest mercy to all of her loved ones and to everyone. Now in today's verses, which is from the 10th canto, Kunti's in a very different situation. Because in the first canto we read, the war's over. All the problems, they've already happened. Now Yudhisthira Maharaj is king. And she's offering her prayers to Krishna. This is the most difficult moment of my life now, because you're leaving us. When the calamities are here, you're always together. You're always with us. But now that everything's all right, I may forget you. That was her prayer. But in today's verses, it's right in the middle of everything. While she's speaking to Krishna, Duryodhana is in the palace. Karna's in the palace. Shakuni, Dushasana, they're all there. What's going to happen next? They just tried to murder and burn alive the Pandavas. The Pandavas were hiding. They're coming back. And she knows the envy and the hatred of her nephews is worse than ever. But Kunti, in her gracious, divine, motherly nature, has simply given her heart to Krishna. His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj has so eloquently told how Krishna gave his heart to Ambarish Maharaj. So when Durvas Muni is saying, please have a heart, protect me, I'm taking shelter of you. So beautifully he explained, I don't have my heart. Ambarish has my heart, you have to go to him. That is actually that principle of how devotee gives his or her full heart to Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates by giving his full heart to his devotee. That is the ultimate culmination of all the knowledge of all the scriptures. That is truly the essence. Whatever rules, whatever regulations, whatever philosophical explanations may be there, this pastime of the Lord being subordinate to the devotee's love and the devotee being subordinate to the Lord's love is the essence of all truths. That's what Srila Prabhupada came to give us. And who are we to understand the essence of all truths? But if we have a simple heart with faith to receive it, and as Maharaj said, if we actually take great happiness in hearing about the great devotees of the Lord, what is their love for the Lord, and what is the Lord's love for the devotees? Just by developing that taste to appreciate another Vaishnava's love, that is actually how the doors to our hearts open to receive that love ourselves. It's most important. Duryodhana, he was living with the Pandavas. They loved Krishna, but he didn't appreciate their love. He was envious of the blessings they were receiving. Srila Prabhupada explains that if we are just not envious, if we just have a simple heart and we can appreciate the devotion of others and appreciate the blessings that Krishna is giving others and appreciate how Krishna is conquered by the love of a devotee and how a devotee is conquered by the love of Krishna. And that mainly comes through hearing. Then we become qualified also. Queen Kunti's prayer, Vipadashantu Tasha Shvatatra Tatra Jagat Guru, let calamities come again and again so that I can remember you. You'll never come to be able to understand that prayer just through philosophy. It's too much beyond philosophy. It can only happen, we can understand that prayer when we receive Krishna's grace. And Krishna will give us that grace when we learn to love and appreciate those who he has given his heart to. This is really what it means to be the servant of the servant. Thank you, His Holiness Naranjan Swami Maharaj. And I want to say one thing to you. You may be a little proud by how you clapped for him. But in Ukraine, they clap at least 1,000,000 times louder. Ha 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 ha!